Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. I'm so excited. We are going to talk all about Reiki today. And Reiki is something I've dabbled in, but I don't really know too much about the rich history and how it's used today. So I'm really excited. I have my expert on.
What if the one thing keeping you stuck is the way you think? Welcome to Change Your Mind with Chris Ashley, the podcast where science meets spirituality. And mindset becomes your most powerful tool for transformation. I'm Chris Ashley, author of Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality, trainer, speaker, and lifelong seeker. For years, I battled trauma, depression, anger, chronic illness, low self-worth, and the weight of old stories. Until I discovered how to rewire my mind, reconnect with my divine nature, and consciously create a new reality from the inside out. This show is here to help you do the same. Each week, we explore the intersection of personal development, spirituality, and science, diving into topics like healing, emotional mastery, entrepreneurship, resilience, and the quantum nature of reality. You'll hear powerful stories, gain practical tools, and real conversations that will help you change your perspective, get unshakable confidence, and live the vision your soul has always known is possible. Whether you're navigating a major life shift, building your dream business, or seeking deep healing and alignment, you're in the right place. So if you're ready to break through, take back your power, and create a life on your terms, this is your moment. Let's break free from the patterns that hold us back, awaken to who we truly are, and rise. Your transformation starts now. So with me today, I have Catherine Miller. So Catherine is a passionate wellness professional in the DMV area. By day, she enhances corporate wellness and teaches Reiki and yoga by night. Catherine's expertise spans Reiki, mindfulness, and trauma-informed practices. She's a Reiki master teacher at Four Directions Wellness in Alexandria, VA. Is that Vermont?
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay. Virginia. Like, wait a minute. I wasn't ready to read that out loud. Okay, Virginia. And a 200-hour registered yoga teacher specializing in yoga nidra, which is just divine. Mm-hmm. With an MS in nutrition, Catherine is also a certified crystal practitioner, health and wellness coach, energy and sound healing facilitator, and trained in holy fire Reiki. I don't know what that is, so I'm going to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. Honored as one of Alexandria's 40 under 40 in 2020, she empowers self-awareness and healing through her integrative approach. So welcome, Catherine. I'm so glad you're here with us.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So I always start all of my episodes out the same way. And that is by asking my guests to tell me their origin story. So what put you on this path and made you become this master Reiki teacher?
Yeah. So I feel like my origin story was, it was a bit accidental. I actually, since I was young, like a child, I started to have a bunch of health issues. So whether it was, I was discovering that certain foods, you know, would make me sick. And so I had to slightly change my diet to, in my teenage years, I had 3 surgeries. And then a fourth, and then I had another injury that actually could not be helped via surgery. So I had to, I failed physical therapy for treatment, and then someone recommended acupuncture instead. So it was actually all of these little things, which at the time felt like a burden, felt overwhelming, felt like, you know, my body and I were just at odds with one another, actually forced me to learn more and more about these things, right? So I started to learn more about food, started to learn more about diet and how, you know, as we know, foods can be very healing, right? We can use foods to help us. In addition to, you know, okay, I wasn't able to do certain movements or exercises or activities. I grew up dancing, and at a certain point that kind of started to harm me. And so it was, okay, well, what else can I do, right? Can I do Pilates? Can I do yoga, right? Are there other movements I can do that don't have to be as forceful, or, you know, I have to exert as much, but can give me more energy, right? Or can produce relaxation. So it was through that that I just developed this interest in the wellness space. I think probably, you know, before it was what it is, you know, what the wellness space is now. And I was always talking about it with friends. I was always, you know, researching or learning and wanted to learn. And I kept having friends say, well, why don't you just do this like full time? Like, you're always talking about this stuff. You know, why don't you do it? And I thought, oh no, like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, it's just a passion. It's just a hobby. And then I started to really think about it and realize maybe I actually should. And so that's what kind of set me on the path to first getting my yoga teacher certification, you know, wanting to get my master's in nutrition. And then kind of the last hurdle was, I found out I had a brain tumor, and that's actually what led me to Reiki and really kind of solidify that this is what I wanted to do, not just as a, you know, for fun or as a hobby. I mean, it is fun, but not just as a hobby, but be more intentional about this work.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. It sounds like you've gone through quite a lot on your journey, and I resonate so much with a lot of what you said. I've been that seeker of truth, trying every single healing modality throughout my life as well, and diving into nutrition. And I just sold my yoga company in April, actually. Mm-hmm. And I've got a level one Reiki certification. I like literally mm-hmm. only do it on like my animals and my husband. But
which is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And it's been really amazing. So how has Reiki helped in your own healing, like helping with all of these things? Like, how's the brain tumor? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah. So it really was. It was actually, I had my first Reiki session a couple of weeks after my brain tumor was removed, and it was a successful surgery. And I remember, I think I'd gone in to get the staples out, which, you know, they put in to seal everything up. And I told them that I still felt like I had this like cloud over my head, like something just didn't quite feel the same. And they said, well, you know, from our perspective, everything looks great. You know, you're healing wonderfully. And I had a couple months prior to my craniotomy, I completed my yoga teacher certification. And so my mom was in touch with one of my instructors during all of this recovery period. And she had told her, you know, what I was experiencing. And the instructor said, oh, bring her by. I have a Reiki practitioner coming up. So we said, you know what? Okay, let's give it a shot. And it was during that session where actually not only did she help with where my brain tumor had been, she also noticed I had a flare up of a past dance injury that I didn't even mention to her. And she actually focused on that first because she sensed like she was drawn to focusing on that first. So I was, of course, very intrigued because, you know, I'm thinking, how does she know? And then when she got to the area where my surgery had been, she stayed there for about 5 minutes or so. And I just remember it, like the sensation became pretty intense. And then when she moved her hands away, that kind of cloud like feeling moved away with her hands. And so I was like, oh, I need to learn about this. Like, what is, you know, what is this? How does it work? And so my mom and I did our level one and level two training together. Oh. And because it was so impactful for me just during that time and learning about it. And because I think of the timing of when I first experienced it after my brain surgery, I really wanted to give back. And there just so happened to be a Reiki volunteer program at the same hospital where I'd had my surgery. And so I was actually able to go back and volunteer there for a few years. And so that was really purposeful, like really made me feel, you know, like I was really making a difference being able to help people in that way.
That's so beautiful that it came full circle. I have goosebumps. Yeah. And that's so special that you and your mom did it together.
Yeah. No, she's the best. She's such a great support in all of this. And, you know, she also just likes to learn. And so, and it's also really nice to be able to talk to someone that you're close with like that about this work. And so it was nice. We were also able to practice on each other and, you know, kind of say like, hey, I'm, you know, we would practice on my brothers and other family members or neighbors and say, you know, hey, like I'm sensing this. Do you sense this? So it was kind of, you know, like we were also learning from each other too.
That's really cool. Ah, that's so cool. My mother-in-law actually just got hers, so I should.
Oh, wonderful.
I should definitely be sessions on each other. It's intimidating though, like when you're first starting to want to do it on someone else. So
yes, it definitely was, because as I tell my students, even, you know, like you're in your head, right? Mm. You're like, am I doing it right? Am I making this up? Am I really feeling or sensing this? And then it can be nice to kind of get that feedback of like, you know, maybe the person falls asleep or they feel a little relaxed. You're like, oh, okay, you know, it's working. they're getting something out of it.
You know, one of my craziest stories is I did it on my former dog and she started throwing up right after.
Oh my
and it
goodness.
Was the craziest thing. And at first I felt like horrible. I was like, oh my God, I messed with something. Like I screwed up her energy. And then like all my more conscious friends were like, no, you helped her release something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like wild. Like I just have goosebumps thinking about it now, because it was like instant validation with something that like had like, it was totally objective, right? Like it was so crazy.
Yes. So. And I think especially when we hear about Reiki being this, you know, relaxing experience that people have, and sometimes people kind of have to have maybe a little bit of the opposite at first, right, to get to that relaxation, whether it's throwing up or, you know, anger comes up or tears come up, right? Like that uncomfortableness in order to, for them to then experience whatever was maybe underneath all of that.
Totally. And, you know, I was thinking too, when you were telling your story about how you still felt that like cloud over you, it made me think about how things show up in our energy bodies and then they manifest as physical illness, right? Yes. If it's not something we deal with. And it's like, it's almost like with the tumor removal, it's like the symptom was taken away, but like the root thing existed. And then you were able to release that through Reiki. Yes. Does that resonate?
It does. And I still don't quite know, right, maybe what that part is. But it was interesting that, you know, my surgeons looked at it and said, no, everything's fine, right? Like, everything's great. You look great. And I'm just telling them, like, something still doesn't feel the same. Like, there's something. And so I think that's also what made it very cool, was that someone could come in and, like, they could feel what I felt. So it also, you know, helps you trust yourself too. Like you said, like that bit of that validation, like it's, no pun intended, but like, it's not all in my head, right? Like it really, like there really is something there. And so it was also really nice, you know, to see like the Western medicine worked with my surgery, and, you know, this energetic practice also worked to kind of like maybe come in and clear out anything that was like any remnants that were still there.
Totally. So let's take it back to basics for a second. Like, you know, people on this channel are very metaphysical and natural health minded, but just in case anyone's watching and they have never heard of Reiki, if you could just kind of explain, and it's also interesting to hear everyone explain it in their own words. So if you could just explain what Reiki is and how it works.
Sure. So Reiki comes originally from Japan. You know, I mean, first of all, and I'm sure your listeners know that there are lots of different energetic healing practices, right? Lots of ways that people can work with energy. And so this one is specifically comes from Japan. And it translates to meaning, well, like here in the West, we define it as like universal life force energy. Mm-hmm. And so I always, you know, sometimes people are maybe more familiar with other modalities. So for those who may be familiar with yoga and Ayurveda, right, we call that life force energy prana in like an acupuncture or qigong, you know, maybe it's called qi. So just for anyone who's, you know, trying to say like, okay, what's it like? It's similar, right? It's that. But with Reiki, we use our hands to be able to sense and kind of be that conduit for the Reiki energy to flow through the practitioner to the recipient. And as you said, right, you do it on your husband and animals. It can be done on plants, humans, pets. I mean, really anything, but especially any living thing. They can all benefit from it.
I never thought about doing it on plants. That's really cool. Have you done that before?
I have. And it is interesting because you can feel the aura of the leaves of the plants. They tend not to need it. In my experience, like when I've done it, I don't do it as long on my plants as I might do it right on myself or another person. But you can feel how, you know, maybe certain leaves, you kind of get the feeling like, oh, this leaf really needs it, right, more than another one. And so, you know, there are some people who do it like maybe just more on like plants or animals, right, as opposed to just on people. But all of them can benefit for sure. Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to try it in my houseplants. So how does it work? You know, like when I do it, and I am like such a novice compared to you, but my experience has been like, I almost feel like this energy kind of flowing through me, and I feel like heat, and the recipient, which is usually my husband, is like, oh, I feel tingling there. I feel warmth there. Like, what is it? Like, how does it work? How do we tap into that? What's the mechanism behind it?
So one, you're not a novice. You're doing this like same thing that I'm doing. I'm getting all those same sensations too. But so we are connecting in, you know, like through our own as a practitioner, right? Through centering and meditation, like we're kind of connecting in and calling in that energy to flow through us. And, you know, our intention is that it's for the recipient's highest and greatest good, which I always think is really beautiful because, right, that could be anything that recipient may need. And so we are sensing, right, where there may be any energetic blockages, any stagnation, right, just kind of anywhere where it feels like we are being called to, and then allowing that universal life force energy to do what it knows how to do. It kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off. I don't know if you've felt that same way too, right? It's not like we necessarily always have to know what the person needs, but I like to describe it as we're holding this space for whatever, right, this universal life force energy knows the recipient needs. I'm sure, again, other people may describe it slightly differently. I'm probably kind of simplifying it a little bit, but I think that helps us to understand, right, what may be going on. And there's a myriad of things that can be happening here. I find that a lot of times people may come in for a certain reason, but as you mentioned, right, when it kind of shows up in the physical, there might have been, right, there's something else, right, whatever that root may be. And so Reiki also helps not just on the physical, but also the emotional, mental, and spiritual levels of our being. So, you know, just as an example, people oftentimes may feel physical pain, but that might be due to an emotion. Right? That might be due to something going on with us mentally. And so maybe if we're able to address whatever that root is on the mental or emotional level, right, maybe that can help with it being resolved or dissipating on the physical. And so, I mean, I love it because I feel like every single session is different. Even if I'm working with the same person, right, even if I'm working on myself, it's always something slightly different. The experience may be different. The sensations may be different. But knowing that you are helping this person receive whatever it is they really need. I always feel like, oh, okay, like I'm really doing, you know, I'm doing something meaningful. I'm doing something really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So hearing you talk, like in my head, I've always thought of Reiki as like, it's adding something that wasn't there, right? Like it's this life force energy that's coming in and like revitalizing something, someplace where it's like missing it. Where something like another energy healing that I love is like the emotion code. I don't know if you're interested in that at all, but that is really about like taking away something that's harmful. And so that's always been in my head where it's like Reiki's adding, something else is taking away, but maybe I'm wrong. Like, what are your, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So it's, how do I explain this? So we're not like, you know, I'm not giving like my energy per se, right? But as the way like I've experienced it in the way that I've been taught, right? It's bringing in what this person needs. And so helping them come back more into balance. And, you know, originally it was intended as actually a spiritual practice, not necessarily the physical, which I feel like we focus on a bit more here in the West. So it's just more of, so, it, you know, it can be adding, right? It can be rejuvenating, right? Relaxing, balancing. It can be taking away things, right? Or dissipating things like pain, you know, helping the body in its healing practice. But I think ultimately through that, it's just bringing the body back into that homeostasis, whatever that is, and then helping us to, through that, I've seen it as like kind of helping us to show up more as our fuller selves, whatever that looks like, right? So maybe it's a little bit of, you know, the adding and the taking away, or just the transmuting and transforming, right? Whatever is going on in there. But because there's so many other benefits too, like helping people sleep, you know, and we all know when we get a really good night's rest, right? We show up a lot differently than when we don't, right? Or maybe helping with our intuition, helping with our creativity, right? Helping us to just be less judgmental and more loving, right? All of that helps us get back to like the core of who we are, as opposed to, you know, just trying to like put a Band-Aid over it or be something that everyone else wants us to be.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you for that explanation. What I love about it too is it just feels really gentle, yes. Right? It's just like so loving and warm and just even you, like I have like this, you like give off this energy of like gentleness and warmth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what Reiki feels like, right?
Thank you. it really is. I've heard of someone experiencing it and they described it as feeling, you know, like a loved one's hug, right? Like that's what that experience was like for them. So some people, while they may still feel, you know, maybe like in maybe a little intense sensations, right? Like a lot of heat, right? Or like you described the tingling, they still feel this like gentleness with it. It's not super harsh or abrupt. It's more, you know, just like a soft, gentle hug that you may get from someone who really cares about you.
Yeah, that's a really lovely way of explaining it. So I know that you are an expert on all things Reiki, and I have never actually learned the history of Reiki. So I would love if you could just teach me and viewers a little bit about the history of the roots.
Sure. So I can kind of give like a little, you know, like a brief overview. So as I said, it came from Japan, actually. The person it's attributed to, his name is Dr. Usui. So about 100 years ago, he went on a little spiritual fast and experienced Reiki through this. And they, as I was taught, they say that when he was kind of coming back from this spiritual experience, he realized that there were some physical benefits. Like he stubbed his toe and realized, oh, Reiki can help with this too, right? It wasn't just the spiritual level. There are other applications to it, and so he started teaching in clinics in Japan. And so there were people who trained under him, and he actually wasn't around for very long after he first experienced Reiki. Mm-hmm. But one of his proteges, a man named Dr. Hayashi, he helped continue these clinics, and it actually helped spread to the West, to Hawaii, because someone from there came to Japan, had some medical things going on and was actually like healed through, had Reiki sessions and was actually healed as a result of that. So I'm sure like any of us, if we had an experience like that, we too would be intrigued and want to learn. And so her name was Mrs. Takata. And so she went back to Hawaii, and Dr. Hayashi came and taught there. And this was all around, during this point, it was all around the time of World War II. And so then after World War II, she, at least here in the West, was the one who helped it spread. And so she taught levels 1 and 2 for years. And then kind of in like maybe her last 10 years or so, I believe she taught the Reiki master level. And so there were 22 Reiki masters who people in the West all can kind of attribute their lineage to. Reiki did still exist in Japan. It just kind of I've heard the term be used as underground. It just kind of went underground, but it still did exist. It just, it wasn't necessarily in the newspapers like it had been, you know, at the time of Dr. Usui originally. So, I will say, you know, there are some differences, I think, from how it's taught here and how it is still taught traditionally in Japan. Mm-hmm. But from there are so many different styles of Reiki, you know, one of them being Holy Fire Reiki, but there are so many other different styles. So I can't speak on all of them. But, you know, whether it's like the more traditional style of the Dr. Usui Reiki or other styles, I found that the ones I've experienced have been just really helpful, really beneficial, and still kind of, again, at the end, give us what it is that we need.
That's so fascinating. Thank you for taking me through that. And I thought it was like super ancient. It's only 100 years. It's like early 1900s. Like that's pretty wild.
Yeah. Now again, right, Dr. Usui was trained in like other modalities. He was trained in Qigong. So, you know, the assumption is also he was very well learned already in energetic modalities and energy healing. So he did come in with this knowledge already. And I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure that did contribute to his experience with this and what he received through his spiritual, kind of his little spiritual experience there.
That makes sense. And, you know, I know when I was taught, the master basically had to like, she did something on my hands, I think is what it was. Mm-hmm. Right. And basically was like, okay, I'm going to do these things. And now like you can tap into Reiki. So talk to me a bit about that. And mm-hmm. it's just interesting to hear where it started. It's like that person, it just came to one person and then he was able to like gift it to others. So talk to me about that whole ritual. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's called the attunement process. And so that the teacher will use, you know, symbols and just the use of Reiki to help the student's energetic channel, firstly open up. You know, we all have this energetic channel, but it kind of helps to open up. And then through the attunement process, it just helps to expand and strengthen that. And then you have it for life. Even if you don't practice Reiki very often after, it's still there. It's not like it dries up, you know, or there's a timeline on it. We as humans might feel like, oh, I'm a little bit rusty with Reiki, but it is still there. Right. And again, I think it's also important to say that all of us do have these abilities, whether or not we've gone through an attunement process. You know, we see it all the time, you know, where there may be, you know, like a mother and her baby may be sick, right? And it's like the mom holds the baby and the baby starts to feel better, right? Or people kind of have like that intuitive connection or that energetic connection with each other. And they can't quite put it into words as to why that is, right? We all have like our energy, our energetic field is there. But the attunement process just helps us to strengthen that. And so that's probably what she was doing. She's probably moving your hands in some different ways. You probably may or may not have seen what she was doing and maybe were wondering, right, what is going on? But it was helping. It was kind of helping that channel from, you know, from your crown down to your heart and then out through your arms and then just helping it expand and be strengthened.
Thank you for explaining that, because I don't think she explained it to me.
Like they didn't explain it to me either the first time. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. And when you said symbols, I think that's what she was doing. It was like writing some sort of symbols on my palms.
Yeah.
It was very secretive. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a little bit secretive, you know, but it works. It's effective. And just, I think also helps us as the practitioners, right? You know, it helps our own abilities too. And of course, right, the more and more that we do it, the more confident we become as practitioners, right? But maybe also the more we're able to sense and feel the sensations, right? Pick up on what's going on in those Reiki sessions.
I'm glad you said that. So I wanted to ask you about this like sensing of what's going on, this intuitiveness. Because like when I do it, which is not often, it's usually like when my husband is like having a bad day and I'm like, you want some Reiki? And I like put some sound healing music on and mm-hmm. turn the lights down and it's like a 15 minute thing and then we're done. Because I'm like, I don't know what else to do. But when I do it, it's just like, I go over, I start at like his feet and then just kind of like do his feet and hands and like his chakras. And I don't even know if that's right or wrong. It's just, but like I'll intuitively like feel energy flowing at certain points more than others. Mm-hmm. But is that like, I've never like been able to like sense like, oh, you have a brain tumor or like you mm-hmm. have or like whatever. So what is it like for you when you sense something that mm-hmm. that intuitiveness?
Yeah. So, for me, it mostly comes up in feeling. So for me, it's more of, you know, and I guess maybe I'll stop and first say there are people who are able to, you know, perhaps have that type of, you know, like that deeper knowing of like maybe what something specifically is, or they're able to, like visualize certain things. For me, it's just more of feeling. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more of the sensations I get, you know, in my hands, or just a feeling of like, go to this area of the body next. And I don't always I don't know why. I've stopped asking why. I just follow wherever that intuitive hit may go to. And then I just stay till I get the little intuitive message that it's okay to move to another part in the body. You know, and like you said, it doesn't, you know, you kind of move from like the hands, the feet, to the different chakras. Like there doesn't necessarily have to be that order, because that's sometimes how it works. You know, there are some people who say you know, it has to move from the head down, because we do kind of want to move that energy down and out. But you can also, right, start at the hands, move to the stomach, right, move up to the heart. Like you can follow that too. The energy is going to flow where it needs to go. And so I really think it kind of is up to each practitioner on how they choose to move in a session. But for me, it's mostly just the feeling. I think sometimes I'll say, you know, I might get more of like that kind of visual or audible message of, you know, go to this next. But usually I just let my feeling, you know, that intuitive way just kind of come through for me, and just follow along and stop trying to control what's going on.
I love that. It like takes all the pressure off.
Yes. Right? Yes, it really does.
Yeah. And I like that you said you stopped asking why. Like, why is not a spiritual question, right? Like, we don't ask why. But no, I appreciate that. This is making me want to like go do it on him. Like,
I mean, I will say, you know, my teacher taught, you know, maybe to ask like, maybe what are you trying to tell me, right? Like maybe what is going on here. But I used to get hung up on, I'm very much a why person. Like even as a kid, I would always be asking questions, but I've tried to stop with the like, you know, why here? And if I maybe don't always get an answer as to, okay, what's going on here, right? Just kind of letting that go, because ultimately the Reiki is still going to do what it needs to do.
So when you do ask what's going on here and you do get an answer, like what form does that answer come in?
Sometimes it will be more of like the knowing, I guess is maybe the best way to describe it, right? That like, you know, maybe it's grief, right? Maybe there's something that's stuck, right? And that could still mean a lot of things. It's not always the exact answer, but it may feel like, or less like a word will come to mind, almost, you know, like a stuckness or something's lingering, right? Or something hasn't been let go of. And then usually what at least how I do it is at the end of a session, you know, I'll always ask the person what their experience was like, because it is more about their experience. And then if they want to inquire, you know, I'll share with them, you know, like I was at this area, you know, I was at this area here and like this came up, you know, does that resonate with you? Because sometimes it does, right? Sometimes it doesn't, but ultimately it is about what their experience is, and whether that means they just fell asleep the whole time, right? And they got like you said, like sometimes 15 minutes really can do wonders on folks, right? Maybe they got like really good sleep for 15 minutes, right? Or maybe it was longer, you know, maybe they felt all those sensations, whatever it was. You know, wanting to make sure that their experience resonates with them, so that, because it is their journey, right? They're gonna go off, and you know, who knows, you know, maybe I'll see them next week, maybe I'll see them next month, right? Maybe I'll see them in 3 months, whatever that may be. It is ultimately about their experience instead of trying to like tell them what they experienced.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what being a healer is about, right? It's about serving and it's all about the other person.
Yes.
Which is why it's can be so healing for us too, right? When you're healing another person or serve in service of another person, you get out of your own head, right?
Yes. You really do. When I would be volunteering and doing it in that capacity, it sometimes I'd be coming from my 9 to 5 and, you know, it'd be like fall or winter, it'd be really dark. I'd be like, I'm tired. Right. But then when you get to work with someone who's really going through, you know, maybe one of the worst experiences in their life and you help them, you know, just be able to get rest. Right. Or maybe you help some of their pain go away for a little bit. You're kind of like, oh, okay. Like that's why I need to be here tonight. Right. Like this was more important than any meeting or email that I wrote today.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's so powerful. I mean, that's how I felt even just teaching yoga for so long.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a good place to go. You know, like I love that you volunteered at the hospital you got surgery at. Like, I would love to hear more about that experience of volunteering and maybe some stories or.
Yeah. So, we were volunteering on every floor in the hospital. So we were in every ICU unit. We were, you know, we saw patients on the neuro unit, in the, you know, cancer unit. We were in the labor and delivery floor, not in labor and delivery, but, you know, working with, you know, women who were pregnant and, you know, maybe having a difficult pregnancy or those who had like just delivered. And so that was really cool to see and be a part of. I even was doing group sessions for our med psych unit as well. And so that would be more in, they spent the whole day in group sessions together. And so this was just one that we did in the evening. And so it was an opportunity for them to experience Reiki. It would be a much shorter session. So each person may have only gotten Reiki for like a minute or two, but we kind of did it almost in like a group, like meditation session that incorporated Reiki. And then they'd have the opportunity to talk about it. But being able to be at that hospital and for, especially at the time, you know, with the opioid epidemic, there were some changes when it came to pain medications and whatnot. And so we would oftentimes come in to help with chronic pain issues or pain issues of any kind, you know, especially if the medication that was given, you know, wasn't working. And of course they couldn't give more, for health reasons. So there, I remember one person in particular had received their pain medication and was still like crying out in pain, you know, wanting more. And the nurses were just like, I'm so sorry, I can't give it, you know, I can't give you more, or at least, you know, not right now. And so they called me in and I did Reiki on the person. And maybe about 10, 15 minutes later, they calmed down and they went to sleep. Aww. And that was really, you know, again, it was really cool to see, like, not just, you know, oh, the Reiki works, but it works really well with the Western medicine. Another person, and this is one that still I'm very much in shock of. It was an individual who'd had a stroke. And so I did Reiki on them and specifically kind of working down their leg where they said, you know, there was still that numbness. And after the session, you know, I asked, okay, you know, how was that for you? How are you feeling? And they said, oh, I felt the numbness move down my leg. And they got, and mind you, they could walk beforehand, but they got up and walked and they said, I can walk better.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, wow. Even I was like, I didn't know it could work like that. but that it was really cool, you know, to get that real time feedback for something so serious. And we also did it for, you know, for family members and for staff as well, mm-hmm. because we know that caregiving can be very stressful, right? And oftentimes people tend to forget about the caregiver because we're so focused on the patient. But so being able to help, I remember there was one person, I think it was the patient's children were there. They were grown adults, but they were, you know, still worried about their parent. And so being able to give Reiki to them and literally being able to see them like take an exhale and calm down. Or for the staff, you know, who are working 12-hour shifts or, you know, there was one time there was an ICU floor where I think, unfortunately, multiple patients passed away, like within a matter of a week. And that really weighed on the staff, on the nurses and doctors. And so we provided Reiki for them. And you could just see it was like, again, this release for them, whether it was emotions came up or they just said, you know, thank you so much. But it was very cool to see, right? It wasn't just patients. It was also family members. It was also staff. Everyone, you know, was kind of going through it and going through something. And we were able to step in for all of them.
That's amazing. That's what an incredible gift that you were able to give all of those people. And yeah, no, that's incredible. And as you were talking about the caregiving, like that hit me so hard because I totally forgot about this, but I started getting Reiki back in 2010 when my dad was going through cancer and radiation and chemo. And I had like literally like knots in my stomach to the point where I was having horrible stomach aches. And like Reiki was the only thing that like released that a little. And I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
So you're right. Yeah, caregiving's a lot, but that's so beautiful and so incredible that you were able to do that. Wow. Do you find that it just kind of like helps and offers relief, or does it ever like heal anyone entirely, or is it just like we don't even make those claims?
So we don't make those claims because, you know, we're not doctors, we're not medical.
Sure.
And of course there can, you know,
lawsuits.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. All of that. And we, you know, we don't want to, and I would never say, you know, like if me personally, as someone who's had surgeries and they've been very beneficial, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, come to me and do Reiki and don't have that surgery. Like, no, I would not say that. But healing also is, as we know, like this lifelong journey process, whatever that process may be or what it may look like, but it can be a wonderful complement to whatever may be going on. Right? Because again, ultimately it gives us what we need. So I haven't necessarily experienced something, you know, like maybe, you know, like that, but I have definitely seen how it's been so helpful for individuals on their journey. You know, again, whether it's something more physical or whether it's something maybe on a more emotional or mental level, right? Or maybe it's something more spiritual. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like Reiki helps with one thing and then it kind of leads maybe to maybe more deeper healing, right? That someone needs on something, you know, maybe on an area that they've forgotten about because they're so focused on this other issue.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And you know, I really appreciate it because I feel like so often in the spiritual or like energy healing community, there's this, it's just like, don't know Western medicine, right? Like it's all about like, you can heal yourself. And I think that alienates a lot of people, right? And it makes people feel guilty or embarrassed or not wanting to try these alternatives or maybe making choices that can put them at a lot of risk. So I appreciate,
And I think as practitioners, you know, we do have a responsibility, you know, and to move with integrity and to also, you know, like as I was taught and as I share with people, like we have a scope of our work, right, as a Reiki practitioner. And then we need to know where that scope ends. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have to be responsible in saying that. And also people do have choice. You know, people do have choice. They do have agency in their health and healing journey. But I will just use an example. You know, when I started to realize, or when I really knew that something was wrong before I got the brain tumor diagnosis, basically what had happened is the brain tumor got big enough. It was causing these focal seizures and I lost the ability to speak. And so when that happened, I finally told my parents like, okay, something's going on. So I made an appointment with my primary care physician, but we, you know, I still was in touch with and saw my acupuncturist while not as regularly, like I always knew if I needed anything, I could contact her. And so she had actually was trained as a nurse and then studied acupuncture and did that. But when I went to see her, she kind of put on her, you know, her little nurse hat and she treated me like a nurse might. And she followed my eyes and said, your left eye is sluggish. You need to go see a neurologist. She said, I was having a headache as a result of the tumor. And she said, I can treat your headache, but you need to go see a neurologist. And I always appreciated that she, you know, said, this is what I can do. This is what somebody else can do. Mm-hmm. Right. And I trust anything she says, but I can trust both, right? That she was like, I can treat your headache. You need to get it. You need to see a neurologist and see what's going on because something is not right. And again, right, she didn't know what it was necessarily, but I did appreciate that. So I personally, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong, right, with maybe getting tests done, right? So we can figure out what it is. And then if we choose to maybe go with Western medicine, or maybe if we choose to go with an integrative practitioner, right, but at least maybe we have a little bit more information. And when we have more information, then we can make more well-informed decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's amazing that you had that person in your life who was able to be like, something's not right here. Like, this is what you need to go do. And not on like a dramatic scale like that, but one of my favorite stories is, I'm sure you know, like Mind Valley, the company, Vishen Lakhsiani, I can never pronounce his last name, but he's the CEO of it. He has a story where he was like, he teaches Jose Silva's, your like healing method, which I've been a Jose Silva fan for like decades. And then all of a sudden it's like mainstream again, which is so cool. It's the world waking up. But one of my favorite stories is he was like using that and he was trying to heal his eyesight, and he was like meditating and visualizing and doing all the things and like asking the universe. And then one day he walks out of his apartment, he looks up, there's a new billboard and it says LASIK surgery. The universe answered.
Yes.
it's so good.
It may not be exactly right the way we thought or envisioned.
Yeah.
But yes, that was the answer that he needed.
Yeah, and he got it, and now his eyes are great.
Yeah.
But no, it's so important. I just think it's so cool too that like hospitals are starting to be open to this, right? Like that's like one of my most exciting takeaways from all of this. It's like, it's really amazing to see, right? Because there was such a stigma for so long.
Yes. And I think at the hospital I was at, I think, you know, they at first were a little hesitant and unsure, but they had I wasn't there at the time, so I can't speak exactly what the experience was, but inevitably some patient had Reiki and it was beneficial, I think, for them to like move forward with the procedure. And the nurses in particular really saw how helpful it was. Like sometimes I would get onto a floor and this one nurse would see me and she'd be like, okay, I need you to go to this room and this room and this room and this room. And I'd be like, I don't think I can see all of them in one sitting. So I was surprised, and it, unfortunately, you know, it's not at every hospital, but it is also at other places, you know, maybe like a rehabilitation center, you know, like a step down unit, you know, even in hospice, right? It even can be helpful in hospice, you know, in helping that transitional, you know, that transition happen as well. Like people can use it there too, and it can be really helpful to make it an easy transition for individuals too.
Yeah, absolutely. And some sort of tapping into what's to come next, right?
Mm.
So you were mentioning before about how it's taught different in Japan versus the US, and there's all of these adaptations like Holy Fire Reiki.
Yes.
And I'd love to hear a little bit about all of that. And also, I'm just looking at the notes that our mutual friend sent over. And one of your talking points is the secret of the Usui, or I can't pronounce his name. How do you pronounce his name?
Usui.
A Sui system of Reiki. So the secrets. So I'm intrigued. I know I'm intrigued. So wait, yeah, I want to hear about all that.
I'm trying to remember, what did she write? But I can, no, so, so, you know, unfortunately I can't speak too much about the Japanese teaching methodology. I do think that there, from what I have, a little bit about what I have read, it does seem like there are just certain cultural aspects, right, that maybe exist in Japan or the East that we just don't have here. But in terms of some of these different modalities, you know, there's, oh goodness, I've heard as upwards of like 50, there may even be more different styles of Reiki. I will say the Holy Fire Reiki was received through a man named William Lee Rand. And he is, has so much experience in Reiki. He's been like teaching and doing it for decades. And he received this form of Reiki where it's a little bit more direct. And so one aspect of that is that instead of the attunement process, students will have like a more direct experience with the Holy Fire Reiki. So, you know, as a practitioner, we won't use the symbols and do, you know, all the little stuff in the hands, like how you experienced. But we'll kind of lead them through like this guided type meditation. And so there's almost, you could almost explain it as like, there's no interference, right? Of like me receiving the Reiki and then doing the symbols or anything on you. It's like you receive it directly. And so you receive whatever it is you need. You receive that healing. And so I've experienced both, and both work, both can be very effective. And when I received it from the, like through the Holy Fire modality, the experience I had, I was like journaling. I had pages of notes about what that experience was like, but my experience was very different from the other people in the class with me. Right. So it was like very much what it was I needed to sense and to feel, and, you know, any messaging that I needed to receive, for my own healing, for, you know, and then for me to be able to go out and do this work, or, you know, or not do this work, just to be able to move forward in my life in whatever way that looked like.
Yeah, totally. So is the Holy Fire Reiki, that's what it is, where the practitioner walks you through like a meditation and you kind of get the Reiki directly from the source, or?
So I apologize. So for the students, like that's like the equivalent more so of like their attunements, but the practice itself, like I still, you know, I would still use my hands. I will say though, that ever since I went through the Holy Fire training, my hands get hotter, like much hotter. Yeah. Huh. And it's almost like I receive it faster.
Hmm.
So like usually like if I do my centering, it's like, I'll touch my hands together and they just get hot. Like it's almost like more direct and quicker. I was doing it on my mom a couple months ago, and I think she'd had like a cough or something. And so she was fine throughout the whole session. And then afterwards, the first thing she says to me is, oh my gosh, your hands are so hot. Whereas before, right, they might be warm. It was almost just like this, you know, as it says, like fire, like this holy fire. Yeah, this holy fire. And even sometimes I'm like, oh, this is very, it's like very intense.
Huh.
Yeah. So again, that's been my experience with it. Yeah. It's like almost like very direct, very intense when I work on people. And then with that, instead of that attunement process, it's more of like that individual experience for whatever it is the student needs.
Wow, that's cool. I'm going to have to find a practitioner that does it.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of which, so oftentimes on my shows, if I have someone who has like a skill like you do, like if they're a tarot reader, they'll do a quick reading or human design or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I'd love it if you could do a short little, just couple minute Reiki session. And I don't know if it works where you would just do it for me or if there's a way to do it for anyone viewing.
Sure. I mean, yeah. So I can do it for you. I can like do it for you, or I can do like a little self care, like guided Reiki like as well. Yeah. If we want to do that. And then anyone watching or listening can participate too.
Actually, that's a quick question before we get started.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's not attuned, can they still get it?
Yes. Yep. They can still receive it. They can still do their self care practice. You don't need the attunement to do that.
Okay, great. So we could take about like 4 minutes. Does that sound okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, great. Yeah. So I always like to start by just inviting people to make sure you're comfortable in your seated position. You can close your eyes, keep your eyes open, or hold a soft gaze forward, whatever feels safest and most comfortable for you. And we can start by taking a deep breath in through the nose and exhale, sigh it out through your mouth. Good. And let's do two more deep breaths in and out. Maybe just breathing out your day. Maybe rolling out your shoulders if anything feels tense there. And another deep breath in. Exhale, release. Good. And as we do this self-care, I always like to start sometimes just by rubbing our hands together, maybe just bringing a little bit of warmth or energy here. And I invite you and those watching or listening to draw your hands to a place on your body where you feel like it needs a little more TLC, a little more love or care. This maybe can be an area where you know, if you feel the tension, you feel any stress, maybe that's been bothering you, or perhaps if you're not sure where, you can just gently kind of guide your hands down the front side of your body, maybe sense if you feel any sensations in any place. And wherever you decide to rest your hands, just allow your hands to rest where they are. You don't have to do anything. If it is comfortable for you, you can recite a little affirmation, perhaps light, love, healing energy, or even highest and greatest good, or any other words that resonate most with you. And allowing yourself to keep breathing in and out. Breathing in. Breathing out. Maybe as you breathe in, imagine that Reiki energy flowing into you. And as you breathe out, feel it flow out from your hands. Breathing in, breathing out. And as you're ready, I invite you to take one more deep breath in. Exhale, sigh it out. And gently releasing your hands, making any small, gentle movements or stretches if you need to, and opening your eyes when you're ready.
That was so lovely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I wish we had live viewers so I can be like, how was it for everyone?
I know.
But no, I appreciate it. And it's great for the guest that comes on because then people can be like, oh, wow, like I see it in action. You know, I want to learn more. I want to check it out. But it's a great little gift for everyone watching too. So I appreciate it.
Of course.
So that being said, I'm sure everyone wants to know where they can find you, where they can connect with you. Wow, my energy feels so much more chill. where you are online, and I'll show you while you go ahead and talk.
Yes. Yep. So Four Directions Wellness, our website, fourdirectionswellness.com. We do individual sessions as well as classes. So Reiki Level 1 to Reiki Master, as well as other classes like crystals and connecting with your ancestors and chakras, all of those things. And, you know, also feel free to just reach out to us if you have any questions. You know, sometimes maybe figuring out what it is you need is kind of that first step.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And for anyone watching, here's how you can connect with me. I'm Change Your Mind with Chris on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I think I'm just Chris Ashley on Facebook for some reason. I don't know. And that's my email. If you're watching and you're like, I'm an amazing practitioner of something and you'd like to come on the show, send me an email. We'll talk about it. And if you have any questions for my guests, you can also send them this way. And we'll just get in touch and just keep building this conscious community on our planet. So thank you so much again, Catherine. It was such a pleasure to have you on. An hour just flies by.
I know.
And thank you for everyone viewing. I'll see you next time. Have a beautiful rest of your day.